Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great
pleasure. Gorgeous, good, pretty classy, the maker of champions.
Andre, the champ.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a place.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
Who is the man?
You are fine.
The champ is here.
A little
ladies and gentlemen, my name is PC Tunney, and I am here to kick it with two of my main men from thechairshot.com. First and foremost, it is Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, the host of Chairshot Radio, Mr. Christopher Platt.
Season's greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. I trust everybody had a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Festivus, Happy Saturnalia, and any other holidays that I may have forgotten. I just hope you all enjoyed your holiday seasons as we embark upon a new year and we get ready to kick 2018 straight in its ass and get it up out of here, which I'm personally excited for.
And the third part of our trifecta here, as we are going to run down our WWE Top 20 of 2018, is Mr. Steve Cook. He is a writer for 411 Mania, thechairshot.com. He writes for the Predators. I believe it's predlines.com too, right? Mr. Cook, how are you?
Yes, yes, that's correct, sir. I also do some fantasy football stuff. Even on week 17, we did a fantasy football thing. I don't agree with playing fantasy football in the last week of the regular season, but some people do that. So I'm just here for the people, man. And that's why I'm here today. It's a lay it down, represent the people, if you will.
Excellent. Well, welcome, gentlemen. This is going to be a Chair Shot production, but I'm going to use it as episode 180 something of the DWI podcast as well. Chris, feel free to do so yourself. Get another episode on the Chair Shot radio belt, if you will. What we're going to do today, folks, is we're going to take the list that myself, DPP, who's not here, Mr. Ray Cash, who is also out on assignment, Mr. Christopher Platt, and Mr. Steve Cook, we've windled that down into a top 20 list. We're going to bring them up 20. Back down to one, a little discussion in between. So, gentlemen, are you ready to start at number 20 for this year, 2018 WWE Top 20?
Ready.
I'm ready, but I have to say something first and foremost.
Yeah, I figured you did.
Let me say this carefully, because I don't want to bury my associates with the Chair Shot, but I vehemently disagree with this year's 2018 Top 20. List. I couldn't disagree with it more, quite frankly. And I'm sure we're going to get to, during the course of this program, we're going to get into debates and discussions and things that nature. People that should be there.
I just want you to take this with you as we embark on this journey here. Okay. Your co-host, Mr. Ray Cash, didn't even have Daniel Bryan in his top 20.
Dang. Yeah, he's got some weird anti-fetish against Daniel Bryan. I really don't understand it. Like, it's funny because he actually went to a house show last month with his oldest daughter, and he damn near disowned her because she was cheering hard for Daniel Bryan. So I don't know what he's got going on there. Maybe it's the meat-eating thing. I don't know what it is, but he's got something going on there.
He hates the environment, is what you're saying.
Probably. You're probably right, man. He's probably anti-tree. I think that's what it is. Yes. And anti-granola.
We'll get to Daniel Bryan much further down the list. Let's start with number 20 and kick it off. It's a tag team. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just preface this was the last rule. Tag teams will take up one spot. So at number 20, it's Sasha and Bayley.
Hi, my name is Bayley, and when I grow up, I'm going to be a champion. Not because I deserve it, because I collect so many autographs, and I'm a pushover, and I act like I'm five, and I'm everyone's best friend. And did I mention that I like hugs? Yeah! I'm Sasha Banks, and I'm the legit boss. And if you don't call me the boss, I'm going to stab you in the back. And if you get an opportunity before me, I'm going to stab you in the back. Actually, it doesn't matter what you do, because I'm going to stab you in the back, because I'm the legit boss. Oh, and guess what? I have a neighbor whose mailman's cousin is Snoop Dogg. And one more thing, I'm the boss.
Gentlemen, your thoughts and opinions on Sasha and Bayley being in the top 20 at number 20, and what role they're going to play moving forward with these women's tag team titles, because you'd have to think they will be at the top of the list in contention for those new belts.
So did anybody else during that whole soliloquy, like all I heard was this. Like, Jesus Christ, I felt like I was listening to an episode of The View. Like, you know. Props go out to Sasha and Bayley. I did not have them in my top 20. PC, I agree with you. I think they are going to factor in big heading into 2019 with the finally announced women's tag division. I think they're right there. There's a few other teams that we can name, but they're right there. And that's fair. But as far as 2018 goes, I don't see where they did anything to be relevant enough to make this list the top 20. Like, we can only pick 20 people or teams or whatever the case may be. I didn't have them in my top 20 at all. So, you know, and judging by the fact that they're number 20, I clearly was the only one.
Mr. Cook, you had him in the top 20. Go ahead. Why don't you play the other side?
I had him
in
the top 20. Yeah, I had him at the number 17, as a matter of fact. And I was not sure at first whether I was going to rank them together, rank them separately, whether I'd ask PC, like, hey, what can we do with these people? And he said, yeah, tag team, they're fine. And that's makes sense, because that's what they did the whole year. It was all about the ups and downs of their friendship. And it seemed like for most of the year that eventually they're going to split up. And that never quite happened for reasons. I think that's the popular newsletter term is reasons why that didn't happen. But it's a good thing that didn't, in my view, because to me, they're better off together. Whether there is tag team partners, which they're going to do here next year, I think they'll definitely be at least in the finals of whatever tag team tournament they end up doing. Whether it's I think it'll be one championship. I'm just speculating, freestyling, if you will. They'll definitely at least be in the finals. I'd have them win the titles. And whether they go back to that split up or not, it's tough to tell. But I will say that probably the best thing they did all year, you know, you had the therapy business and whatnot, but when Bayley kicked Sasha's ass that 1 week of Wall, that was fantastic. When Bayley just finally went off and beat the living crap out of her, it was great. Bayley finally showing some spine, and of course they went completely away from that, but for 1 week it was a pretty damn good piece of business.
Yeah, for 1 week it was great, but then, like you said, there was no follow-up whatsoever. Full disclosure, I had Kurt Angle as my number 20, because you know, up until the eighth month out of the year, the flagship show, which is Monday Night Raw, was centered around Kurt Angle. Like, he was the star of the show. And I've made this joke umpteen times, but it bears saying again. Throughout the majority of the year, Raw was basically Kurt Angle doing his best Michael Scott from The Office impersonation. Like, this inept but lovable manager trying to manage all these outlandish personalities. You know what I mean? Like, that was Raw for up until August, up until the Shield reformed and Roman got the title, and then they became the vocal point of the show and they took Kurt off air. But yeah, I had him at my number 20, and I thought he had a much more impactful year than Sasha and Bayley. And I say that as a full Sasha Banks mark, I beg your pardon. But yeah, I just don't see what they did that was so great that they needed to be on this list. I just don't. Like, maybe if it was the top 30, I could have fit them in somewhere. But the top 20? Nah, bruh. Kurt got that all day and twice on Sunday.
Before we move on to number 19, let's throw out some honorable mentions or others receiving votes, if you will. The aforementioned Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, Sami Zayn, Alexa Bliss, Finn Balor, Ruby Riott, Jeff Hardy, Mustafa Ali, and Paige. Those are people that received votes that aren't going to be having a soundbite today. Really sorry about that. But speaking of soundbites, I got one of my favorite ones from the entire year. So let's listen in. This is number 19.
Yo, check it. All right, this has gone too far. Big Tony, let's hit them with the bar. Ice, ice, shamey. Din, 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 din. Ice, ice, shamey. Din, 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 din. Yo, stop! Collaborate and listen.
The bar is back with a brand new diss, Saint Shamey. It's gonna hold you tightly.
Zara's gonna swing you daily and nightly. When will you stop?
I don't know.
Yo, Shamey, let's go back to the flow. The extreme gonna bro kick your head like a vandal.
When we step through those ropes, nobody can hold a candle.
Ice, ice, Shamey. Din, 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 din. Ice, ice, Shamey.
Mr. Cook, not only can they rap and cut a promo, but they're pretty damn good in the ring. I think the Bar are definitely deserving to be on this list this year as one of the better tag teams in WWE.
No doubt about it. I have them up at my number 14. And we all know that tag teams don't quite get the same kind of attention in WWE that they did in some of the territory, some of the promotions we grew up watching. Like if you go back to the day of the NWA and WCW, you know, before Bischoff, we had tag teams, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, we can name them. WWF in the 80s had a ton of tag teams, and WWE hadn't done that in a very long time. And sometimes you forget that guys like the Bar, like Sheamus and Cesaro, are pretty awesome. And like on the TLC show, that match they had with the Bar, with the New Day, with the Usos, you just kind of forget that every time they go out there, they deliver. And they deliver some kick-ass tag team wrestling. And to me, those three teams, and include the Bar in this, they could fit in any tag team era. You can go back to the 80s with all these tag teams. I think Sami and Cesaro fit right in. I think Cesaro is probably the best tag team wrestler of this current century, I would say. I know that might be a big statement to some people, but with the list of tag teams he's had with Chris Hero, Tyson Kidd, and here with Sheamus, this might be the best tag team that Cesaro's been in, and that's saying something.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, man, I think Kofi Kingston might have something to say about what you just said, but that's neither here nor there. I agree that it's a very good debate, but I agree that the Bar deserves to be on the list. I actually had them a lot higher. I lumped them together at my number 13 pick, including the Usos and the New Day, because I thought those three teams were interchangeable this year, because whatever combination those teams were in, they put on entertaining matches and entertaining segments and promos and things of that nature, and they single-handedly kept the WWE tag team division alive. And I mean that on both shows, Raw and SmackDown. So I'm a little disappointed that they're so low on this list. But again, maybe I took liberties because, again, I had them at my number 13 with the Usos, and New Day lumped in. So perhaps I took some liberties there.
We are the Bar!
Yep, and you're number 19. So let's move on. We'll keep it rolling here until we get into the top 10 and have a little bit more of a discussion. But coming in at number 18, I know, Mr. Cook, this is one of your favorites, I believe, correct?
Oh, I love these guys. Love these guys. I asked you if I could include the Fabulous Truth as part of my list. And actually, I ended up not putting them on the list, which is kind of funny. I asked the question. I still didn't put them on. But I am a big fan of R-Truth and Carmella together. That is a very entertaining pairing. Carmella herself had an interesting year. She was we almost forget she's a SmackDown Women's Champion for a good portion of it, based on what happened later on with Becky Lynch. And we'll talk a lot more about that later. But then she kind of sells in the babyface role. R-Truth's there, and R-Truth's just always a funny guy. He's just an entertaining guy. Whatever he's doing, I get a pretty good kick out of it. So they didn't make my list, you know, I asked, but I like that they're on the list because I think they provide a good service to WWE. Sometimes there's not enough humor for my liking, and these two bring the humor.
Before we get to Platt's opinion here, let's listen in on what I think is one of the key moments in the women's division this year. Kind of turned the storyline around and, you know, it was a big cash in.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Miss Money in the Bank's gonna cash in.
Oh, not now.
Yes. 287 straight days.
Charlotte can't even move. She's defenseless.
Carmella's cashing in.
You gotta be kidding. No.
Doesn't the referee understand?
I paused it. Do you guys remember when she cashed this in and how long it took the referee to actually go ahead and call to start the match? Oh, yeah. She was freaking out. And listening back to it, recording this for the soundbite, I was thinking, I wanted to bring up to you guys, did you think that that actually helped that moment? I mean, instead of just cutting right to it, that added a little bit of suspense and it kind of pissed you off. Like, just fucking ring the bell. Let's go.
I think the ref was just on the uptake on that one. I don't think it really added anything to the moment. We all saw what's happening. And I think 10 jillion hours of content every year. So I'm not going to split hairs on that one particular moment.
All right. I guess I just like the moment better.
You did.
Yeah.
You did, but that's okay.
Well, that's all right. Not as much as Patrick or Dad liked it, but
there you go. Enough. Yeah, that's true.
That's different. True. That's a different kind of like, though.
Yeah. Remember when?
O'Dowd needed a wet wipe for his laptop after the moment. Like, that's a different kind of like, okay?
That's probably a good call there. That's a possibility. Remember when Truth got his cities mixed up?
Our Truth, we're in Milwaukee, not Green Bay.
Dumbass, our Truth. He made the list, though. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, well, Green Bay, it's all the same. Come on, now.
Oh, come on. Ooh, that's harsh, man. That's harsh.
Dude.
Let's move on to a man who's become extremely popular with the WWE universe.
And most importantly, a universal truth that follows me everywhere I go, and everyone here knows it. It's that WWE stands for... I said WWE stands for...
Vlad, going to start off with you. The face turn and everything else, at what point does Elias actually become a main eventer? Does he have that in him down the road?
He definitely has what it takes to be a main eventer. And the thing that swayed me on that was seeing him up against Cena, because I didn't realize just how big he was. Like, he's a big dude. So I think he does have that in him. As far as 2018 goes, I didn't even have him in my top 20. I really didn't. And that's no disrespect to him. I love Elias as much as the next person. But I don't think he did enough this year to warrant a spot in the top 20. I mean, are you really going to tell me that Elias deserves a spot over the rejuvenated Randy Orton, over Samoa Joe, who had one of the best programs of the year with AJ Styles, and he brought Wendy into the wrestling lexicon? Like, that's a hot line. Or even Jeff Hardy, who kind of had a little bit of a resurgence as well over on SmackDown, had a decent U.S. title run, and now he had the good feud with Randy Orton, and now him and Joe are embroiled into a decent program. I just don't think he did enough to warrant being on this top 20. Again, if it was a top 30, all day, every day, but he doesn't deserve a spot on this top 20. Next year, probably so, because they seem to be, I don't want to say they're strapping the rocket to him. They're, what's less powerful than a rocket? They're strapping the fireworks to him, or the sparklers to him. That's what they're doing. They're strapping the sparklers to him right now.
What do they duct tape, like 10,000 bottle rockets together and just tie it?
Yeah. And a Bic lighter, you know what I mean?
Hold these balloons, too. This helium may help you get up there as well. Mr. Cook, what are your thoughts on Elias as we move into 2019?
I had Elias at number 20. I put him right at the end of my countdown, not based on his ring work. I got to tell you, his matches didn't do a whole heck of a lot for me, which I think is one of the things that held him back in NXT, at least with that audience. But he's a guy who translates a lot more on WWE, on the Raw stage, than he ever did in NXT, where they value the work rate more. And what he does translates to the main roster really well, because what he does is cuts good promos, sings some pretty good songs, so more power to him. I don't know about him as a main eventer. I do agree. He definitely has the size for it. With you on that, he's got the size, got the look. I'm not quite sure he quite gets all the way there, but he's got some time though.
Let's keep this list a rolling and talk about number 16. It's a duo, and if you thought you had a good Christmas, listen to this.
But now to win it back on my birthday, on Christmas Day. And on Rusev Day, on top of it all, you know, with my wife next to me, I mean, I think this is a dream come true.
Gentlemen, not only did he win the United States Championship on his birthday, but it was also Christmas is his birthday, and of course it was Rusev Day. Platt, you're staring at me like you you're not interested in what Rusev has accomplished at all.
Listen, man, I went up for Rusev Day as well, man. And being down in New Orleans for WrestleMania weekend, I can say unequivocally, Rusev Day was over more than anything else in New Orleans. Like, I would just be in random places, and there would just be a random Rusev Day chant that would just break out. And the crowd went apeshit. Shout out to Beyonce and Jay-Z. But they went absolutely apeshit for Rusev in the building during Mania. So I'm not taking that away from him. But again, and I'm going to ask both of you to a man. You really mean to tell me that Rusev had a better year than Randy Orton or Samoa Joe or Jeff Hardy or Kurt Angle? Kayfabe.
I think art is subjective, sir.
Rusev won a championship. Rusev won a championship. I'm trying to think. Did Randy Orton win a championship?
Yeah, on the last SmackDown of the fucking year, man. Come on, man.
I got it.
Orton was US champ this year, I think.
SmackDown that was recorded that nobody watched. Come on, man.
I'm a Rusev Mark. I make no apologies for that. Me and Rusev are both Nashville Predators fans. We got that kind of thing in common. I've just always been a fan of the guys in ring work, and I love the Rusev Day gimmick. And I'm with you that from a kayfabe perspective, they didn't do enough for the guy this year. Like, there's just months go by where you just do basically nothing, just hanging out there, Aiden English, chilling out, doing his thing with Lana. But when they gave him actually chances to do things, one of my buddies at 411 Mania, Kevin Pangione, pointed out that Rusev had a better match with AJ Styles and a better match with Shinsuke Nakamura than they did with each other.
Okay, that's fair, but you know, if you wish in one hand and shit in the other hand, which one gonna fill up faster?
That's a good line. I'm not sure what that means, but it's a good line.
And I also had to point out that Jeff Hardy had a U.S. title run this year as well. I just had to throw that out there into the atmosphere, man. Like, no disrespect to Rusev, man. I'm glad that he's got.
Now,
the
I think stuff. Joe got jobbed out there. I had Samoa Joe solidly on my list. I don't know what happened with everybody else on that.
Yeah, man, I know what happened, man, and I said I wasn't going to bury everybody, but I'm about to bury everybody, man. Y'all straight out of a comic book, man, point blank period. I don't know what the hell y'all were thinking with this list. I don't think you put much time into it. And this is why another reason I'm pissed off, because I sat here, I thought about this shit for 5 fucking days. And then when I sat down and I wrote my column, it took me 3 fucking hours. And I went through the list and I rearranged the list and I edited some things. And I went back and I changed some things. And I went back and watched some things. And I took time out of my fucking busy schedule to craft this fucking list together, and at the end of the day, my list got shitted on, point blank, period, and I'm pissed off about it. Goddammit!
Well, I'm
glad
Rusev's
you're a great wrestler, is what I'm saying.
Listen, I'm glad Platt's all lubed up and ready to go
hey,
man, here.
Hey! Xavier Woods is a good fucking wrestler, but he's not on the list. Shelton Benjamin
he's
is a
on
great
the list.
Fucking- Now, he's
Benjamin's
not on the.
Not.
Yeah. So come on, man.
Benjamin
come
had 2 on. Matches on TV this year. Come on.
You're not even no more. You're Steve Raw. That's what you are.
What has Benjamin done to deserve to be on the list? He welcomed Mustafa Ali to fucking SmackDown. Big fucking deal. Listen, I want you to stay fired up, Platt, because hey, at number 15, Brock Lesnar. Listen. Cook, let Platt implode here. Go ahead. We'll clean up the pieces after his head explodes.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris.
I didn't rank him either. Go ahead.
I
am 18th. What do you want me to do?
I want
he didn't
to
rank
change
him.
Fucking
Ray
list.
Didn't
That's
rank
what I want
him.
Okay,
He's never
so
there. Go ahead, sir.
I had Brock. No, I had Brock at number 2. Okay, this is why.
I see
the
that.
Top champion on the flagship show. Okay. So,
he was there, what, twice?
Okay, so, Steve, let me ask you this. Okay, because we've established your age. We're all in our 30s here. Steve, when did you start watching wrestling, sir?
1990.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you a bit of a pass because you missed the peak Hogan years. But the majority of us, other ones that made this list, we grew up during peak Hogan years. And during peak Hogan years, Mr. Cook.
Yes. I know where you're going with this.
Okay. If you saw Hogan twice a month do an interview on Superstars or Wrestling Challenge, and you know, with the exception of the occasional Friday or Saturday night's main event, other than that, you had to pay to see Hogan. either by pay-per-view or by going out to the house shows. So how is this any different than what's going on right here with Brock? And let me remind you, lest we forget, that this whole narrative that Brock Lesnar's not there and doesn't care about the people, this whole narrative was crafted by WWE in an attempt to get you melon farmers to cheer Roman Reigns as the sympathetic babyface in that program. But yet, what did the IWC do? Dance, puppets, dance. They took that narrative, they ran with it, and now all of a sudden they want to shit on Brock Lesnar because he's not there every day. The bottom line is this. There is only three names on the entire WWE roster that are box office, and Brock Lesnar thank you, sir, is one of those names that is box office. He puts butts in the seats, he sells tickets, and he gets the company mainstream commercial appeal and eyeballs, and you can't quantify that. Yeah, he's not there all the time. Okay, yeah, you're pissed about it. But you know what would happen if he was there all the time? You'd be like, oh man, I'm sick of Brock Lesnar, man. Why is he here all the time? So get your heads out your asses, IWC, and understand that this man at number 15 in the top 20 of WWE, you cannot name 15 people more relevant to the WWE than Brock Lesnar. You can't. I've got one. You could possibly name two. Maybe three, but you can't name goddamn 15. It's garbage. And you melon farmers are straight out of comic book. And I'm Christopher Platt, and I'm about to take a sip of my beverage before I overheat.
Mr. Cook, let's move on from this topic. We shouldn't anger him anymore. He's turning red. I'm going to calm him down
here.
Can I
just say one thing?
Go ahead.
Real quick. I just want to say my favorite part of that whole thing was how all the IWC people apparently sound like Grover. We all sound like Grover from Sesame Street, apparently.
That's how I read the comments in my head. That's how I read them in my head.
Oh man, Brock's not there. Oh man, they're pushing Roman down the throats, man. Oh,
isn't it Grover's scary?
Grover's over here dropping F-bombs like crazy. Yeah, there you go.
Isn't it scary when you get inside a Platt's head? Oh my goodness. All right, here, relax a little before we move on here, okay?
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You feel better over there?
What are you trying to do? You trying to do the King Kong to me, motherfucker? Like, what are you doing?
And can I give Hogan a little bit more credit than that? Because Hogan was out there working. He was working the house show circuit, man.
He was
working all across
Thunder
circuit.
Bay and shit with fucking Brutus Beefcake.
And I mean, that was the business model back then, man. The business model was you did your TV to get people out to the house shows to go pay to go see him. But my point is, you had to pay to go see Hulk Hogan. And quite frankly, the first house show I ever went to, Hogan was advertised. It was supposed to be him in a street fight versus Sergeant Slaughter. And he no-showed. And they made up some bullshit talking about he was doing something with the Special Olympics and Macho Man in the main event. Like, and you know, I'm not tripping, but I'm just saying, like, we didn't see Hogan that much either. And this isn't different from that. That's the point I'm making. And the fact that Brock Lesnar, again, the top title, he holds the top title on the top show, and he's number 15 on your list, like, come on, man, that's asinine.
Well, if he showed up on Raw and had a nice little match with Seth Rollins, he probably would have been bumped up a few more spots, is all I'm saying.
Word.
Yes, let's find out who the 14 guys who had a better year than Brock Lesnar were.
Well, nobody had a better year than Brock Lesnar because he's getting paid to do he's getting paid a lot to do a little. So nobody on this list possibly had a better year
point.
Than Brock Lesnar. Point blank.
Is he working John Jones? Is that going down? Is that happening now?
Oh, John Jones with a big victory last night. Knockout victory.
So is that what that means? I have no idea what the UFC booking strategy is there.
Well, Cormier was calling him out.
That's another one I'm pissed off about because, I mean, we're going to do Cormier. My opinion is we're going to do Cormier and Lesnar to get to Brock Jones and John Lesnar. Like, I think that's where John Lesnar, because I think that's where the money is. But since I'm on my high horse right here, man, I think people are finally starting to realize that UFC is just as big a work as WWE, because I've been the only melon farmer on that high horse, on that top of that mountain for the past few years, yelling and screaming out into the ether, and nobody paid me any attention.
You better
UFC
watch
is
out.
A work, brother.
You better
Very
watch out, Dana.
That for 15 years.
You better watch out. Dana White's going to call you out like Oscar De La Hoya.
Say it again.
Did you hear Dana White call out Oscar De La Hoya?
Oscar would beat your ass in his fishnets.
Dan,
and
coming for you next.
Dan would last 10 seconds, sir.
No.
All right, speaking of mixed martial arts, a former MMA man, now wrestler, and here in America, if you didn't like Rusev Day, how about
Nakamura Day?
And CP's a big fan of this.
Hey.
Yeah, we're gonna no, I'm not going to let you do that.
Shinsuke is Asian.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Shinsuke Nakamura coming in at number 14. How about the full-length blue bodysuit? That's what I want to talk about. The Papa
Smurf.
That's
kind of the highlight of his year, to be honest. Oh, my goodness. That was nice.
Did you like that? I didn't like it. I didn't. I thought he looked horrible.
They're going for a whole artist gimmick, right? I guess that look. There's their idea of something that Prince would have worn back in the day, is what I thought they were going for.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Elvis vibes from it. He looked like an Asian guy dressing up like an Asian Elvis impersonator, which that's a thing too. So okay, fair enough. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, as far as him at 14, I can't split hairs on that. I had him at 16. So I think that's the, 16 to 13 range for Nakamura's year. That's fair. He had a good title run. He did have the feud with AJ. He had one of the best heel turns of the year in Mania. I was underwhelmed by his program with AJ, but it still was a thing. So I can't split hairs too much about him at number 14.
I think I had him right below Brock Lesnar at 22.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Come on, Salmonella.
Wow. Let's keep the gloves up over there.
I'm just going to keep bringing it. Yeah, we're going to keep bringing the Brock stuff. I think that's a key success on this show. Maybe my expectations are a little too high for Nakamura, because people have been telling me for years and years and years, all the Japan fans are all like, oh my God, this guy is the best wrestler of all time, blah, 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 blah. And they set my expectations so high that he was never going to live up to it. But once he turned heel, once he started wearing the blue bodysuit, I was into it. I dug it. It's a good time.
Well, the thing is, Steve, he's low-key. He's kind of phoning it in here now. You know what I mean? Because he spent all those years in Japan busting his ass. Because, that Japan style is so physically intensive. And he's here for the money. And he's cashing in on his charisma, and he's totally phoning it in. And I can't be mad at him for that. He's, 36, 37? So he's entering the tail year of his career. So go ahead and make your money, man, while you can.
22 is a good spot. I have nothing wrong being 22.
I wish I could go back and be 22. God damn, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Or not even me, just my penis. That's all I want. I don't even got to be 22 physically, man. Just take
an attempt to stop talking about Christopher Platt's penis. We're going to move on to number 13. Have you guys heard about the new and wonderful, awesome commentary team? Let's kick it over to the New Day.
Commentary yet again. We got a full table. We got 19 jobs. We have a triple threat tag team matchup. Woo! Essentially a tournament of sorts, and the winner will go up against us at Hell in a Cell.
You have to say it like that when you say it.
You have
too.
To. It's mandatory.
Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Gentlemen, your thoughts on New Day's continuing evolving character and continuing to stay relevant. I mean, we all thought, I thought at some point they should have broken them up this year and at least let Big E move on to singles competition, but they continue to put out great work. Vlad, what are your thoughts here on the New Day moving forward in 2019?
Well, PC, I actually had the New Day in a triumphant with the Bar and the Usos at 13. So this is spot on for me. And I mean, these guys, every week, man, I think the gimmick is wearing a little thin. Some of the things they do is a little bit too much for me. I'm not going to lie to you. But when it comes to in-ring activity, man, these guys constantly put on great match after great match, and it doesn't matter who they're in there with. So, and I can't be mad at them, because I'm sure they're making money hand over fist. I got to assume that they're still in the top five merch sellers in WWE. So regardless of how I feel like the act has gone a little stale, and, they're kind of grasping for straws at this particular point in time. But make your money, fellas. Like, make your money. I'm not mad at you. And the fact that they took this gimmick that was chicken shit and they turned it into chicken salad, that just is a testament to the talent of the three guys involved. So yeah, I'm not mad at them at number 13 whatsoever. I'm not gonna eat anybody's lunch for that. Cook what you think, bro.
Not eat any lunch. I had them down at 18, but to me, the difference between 13 and 18 on the list, not really that much. So I'm not hating on them at all, being at the spots. And I'm a big New Day guy. I think that, like you said, their match is top notch. Those guys know what to do in a tag team situation, no doubt about that. And they're all fine singles competitors too when they get the chance. And I had a column up on the Chair Shot a couple weeks back about talking about Big E, as a matter of fact, because back when they did the deal where Shane was talking backstage, blah 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 blah, you could see Big E over there giving Daniel Bryan a little bit of a side eye. And that gave me the idea where Big E should be challenging Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. And you could keep them all together. You could have Xavier hanging out. I mean, Xavier's a cruiserweight. He could go on 205, go for that title. And that brings more eyeballs to 205 Live because people like Xavier Woods. And Kofi, he's already like a three-time U.S. champion. So he could get that a couple more times than Tyrick Flair for that record. So keep them all together, but push them to singles, guys. I think that'd be pretty good. And you'd still make a lot of money off merchandise. So. That's why I'd like to see in 2019.
You know, that sounds eerily similar to something that another guy that's on these airwaves right now has suggested as well. Like, I made the suggestion, Cook, that you could do a whole pay-per-view centered around the New Day. You remember back in the day when they had In Your House, D-Generation X, and this and like, this, that, sure. And the third. So you could do a whole pay-per-view, X challenging for the 205 Live title, Kofi challenging for the U.S. title, or have them in the tag team title hunt, and then have Big E challenge for the world title. Like, I agree with you. They can still be together and still have singles aspirations, because I feel like they've kind of jumped the shark in terms of the tag team division. Like, there's only so much you could possibly do. And the funny thing about that Daniel Bryan segment was, I didn't realize this at first, like, X had a piece of steak, and E had a hamburger, and it sitting next to vegan Daniel Bryan. Like, that was hilarious at first, because I'm not going to lie, at first I thought they both had pieces of chicken, so I was pissed off about it. And then I went back and watched it again, and I said, oh, okay, they got meat, and they're standing next to Daniel Bryan. I get it. And then right. You can actually see Daniel Bryan kind of bite his lip a little bit, trying hard not to, like, break kayfabe and laugh about it, you know what I mean?
Pretty good. I'm telling you, that side eye, I think it's leading somewhere. I think that's some storytelling for down the line. That just might be wishful thinking on my part, but
I hope you're right, man, because, Big E's got it. So I hope you're right, but we'll see. But hell, if you ask the New Day, though, they want Kofi to be the guy that gets the title. And I mean, he's been putting in the work for years. Like, you can't make an argument there.
Yeah, he could. I mean, that's why he was the representative of Money in the Bank. And I would love to see Kofi win the Money in the Bank and then be the cash-in guy. That would have been pretty good to me.
I was with you guys until you had Kofi Kingston going into a match for the WWE title, even. I don't even see that happening for him. Sorry. Think how Vince would think. It's definitely Big E who's in line. That's my opinion on that one.
Right, you don't there. See Bryan versus Kofi at least on episode of SmackDown's main event?
Oh, that's okay, but I'm saying you're not going to main event a pay-per-view or have even a WWE title match at a pay-per-view that's going to be Kofi Kingston.
Well, when's that going to main event a pay-per-view anyway? They do title that main event pay-per-view.
I'm saying you won't see Kofi Kingston in a WWE title match on a pay-per-view, period. How's that? You probably won't even see him in one on SmackDown.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think Big E's the guy as well. I was just saying from the New Day's perspective, sure. That's the guy they want to get the rub.
Not that I wouldn't cheer for that, right? I mean, shit, I cheered for Zack Ryder winning the IC title. Let's move on now that I've embarrassed myself completely there by admitting
that. Remember that guy.
Yeah. Here's a tag team that I made the executive decision to not leave Dolph Ziggler off this list, so I threw him in with Drew McIntyre and made him – once again, a tag team, even though they are no longer, mainly because I love the nickname that I gave them. From the man that brought you Gallows and Anderson as Ganderson, I bring you Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, Mac and Tiggles.
I think everyone here knows why I brought this man with me. Since day one, no one's ever had my back, and now I got him watching my back. And this guy, did you see? Did you see what he just did? This man right here is dangerous.
He's right. I am dangerous. I'm especially dangerous to a locker room that's apparently gone soft.
Now, Cook, my opinion on this is the start of what they did in this storyline between these two was really good. The middle of what they did in the storyline between these two was getting even better, and the ending was absolutely horrible. At least for Dolph Ziggler, it made him somewhat relevant this year again. And I think the proof will be in the pudding for all of this and see what happens with McIntyre as we move forward in 2019, because Vince has got eyes for him for a long time now.
Sure, and there's plenty of reasons, too. Drew McIntyre looks like the guy. He looks like he drop him in main event tomorrow. Wouldn't be a problem because he just has that he has a look about him. He has that intensity. He just has most of what people would want, like most of what WWE would want in a main eventer. I had Drew up at number 10. I thought he had a really good year. He ran through pretty much everybody in his path up until the end, and I'm with you. That's the stuff of Drew and Dolph's going well for a while, and then they did the Braun thing, and then they forgot Dolph existed for a couple weeks, and I'm not quite sure what happened with all that, but eventually it ends up with Dolph coming back and winning a match for some reason. Dolph Ziggler, I know he's a talented guy and blah, blah, blah. I just have not been interested in Dolph Ziggler for a very long period of time. So he didn't make my list. I'm okay if you want to have him kind of tag along with Drew here, much like he tagged along with Drew for most of this year. But to me, Drew's the future.
Well played.
Dolph, I think Dolph's future is in, well, I guess he tries to be.
Stand-up comedy.
He tries to be. I don't know. Comedy.
Maybe
I guess there's a market for it. I don't know.
Films with Snipes.
Hanging out with Kennedy at baseball games. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Flat, you got anything to add to that, Flat?
I was trying to add, and you cut me off.
Oh, you froze.
Anywho,
sorry.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Ziggler, star in The Penetrator, straight to DVD. I had Drew rather at number 14, so 12. I'm not gonna really eat anybody's lunch on that one. I can't bitch about that too much. But the line that I had in my top 20 is that the greatest thing that Drew McIntyre did this year was make Dolph Ziggler re-relevant, because I really did enjoy their stuff with together. I'm with Cook though. I feel like Dolph, he's jumped a shark. He's a great in-ring competitor, but there's nothing that they could really do to make Dolph moist to me again. And go do your stand-up comedy, man. You're not a bad-looking guy. Maybe you can get to some B-budget movies with Wesley Snipes and Jean-Claude Van Damme and that type of thing. Hell, Terry Crews is out. Maybe you can be in the next Expendables. You know what I mean? Something like that. Like, I as far as wrestling goes, I don't really think – I think he's reached his ceiling, and there's nowhere for him to go at this point but mid-card and below.
Let's keep the list of rolling here. Let's move on to number 11, the last number before the top 10. No tag teams are going to make the top 10 because number 11?
It's not paranoia. It's the O's. Oh!
I'll be the first to tell you, I love the Usos. I've always said I'd love to see them face the Briscoes someday, but that's neither here nor there about this discussion. I think they've been the best tag team in the world for going on two and a half years now. That's my opinion. I think they deserve to be on any top 20 list, and I definitely think they're the best tag team in the world right now. I may be biased. Platt, what do you think?
I totally agree, man. I can't really bitch on their placement right here. The Usos have consistently showed up. They've had great matches with The Bar, with The New Day. Like, they've been there. So, yeah, I can't disagree with that at all.
Mr. Cook?
Definitely in ring, these guys are as good as it gets. I'm with you guys on that. The only kind of drawback they had for me is that there wasn't a whole lot of variety for them. They didn't have a whole lot of competition. That's not their fault. It's not their fault that they have wrestled New Day so many times as they've reinstated the Us Truce. How many times have they done the Us Truce with the Uses in New Day? Like, I feel like they've done that a few times, and you got The Bar now. That's the one drawback for me with the Usos. I am down at 16. But to me, like I said, 11, 16, there's not much of a difference there. I'm fine with him at that spot. And, yeah, just a couple of great tag team hands. Kind of flying under the radar to a lot of people, I think.
Let's keep this list rolling. We are in the top 10 now. And coming in at number 10 is a woman who had a great start to the year and an even better finish.
Vicky says... she's a man. Charlotte says she's a man. But now, I'm the man! No one is ready for Asuka!
Just Gentlemen, your thoughts on Asuka being the man right now and how she sounded much like Platt's impression of a comic book or Grover, as Cook called it before. Would it be wrong of me to say no one's ready for Asuka, but Asuka's still not ready for English?
It would be wrong.
That's funny though, man. That's funny shit, man. That's funny as hell.
I mean, I'd sound even more like an idiot if I was trying to speak Japanese or any other language. So let's just put that out there. But, you know, for the sake of comedy, you got to say that. Gentlemen, your thoughts on Asuka's year, though, and moving forward, she's clearly a very key part of what's happening in the women's division.
You said it pretty much. She had a great start to the year. She had a good match at WrestleMania. She had a great finish to the year. Beyond that, though, there was a whole lot of time where she just wasn't doing a whole heck of a lot, where she's kind of got forgot by SmackDown booking team, or I don't know what happened. Like, she had a couple of best matches of the year, but I had her down 19 because, for me, she just didn't do enough, like, compared to the other types of people you'd have on a top 10. In my opinion, do I think that she deserves to be in top 10 based on talent? Probably. But I just didn't see enough out of her in this year. May 2019, now she's the SmackDown Women's Champion. She'll probably get more run, get a chance to do some more things, but I just didn't see enough this year.
I mean, you know, like you all said, she started off the year by winning the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. She had arguably, in my humble opinion, the best match at Mania against Charlotte Flair. In the middle of the year, she did kind of, you know, they kind of lose track of her here and there, but I kind of dug her friendship with Naomi. I thought that was entertaining, and you know, you followed that on Twitter, they kind of forward that storyline a little bit there, so I dug that more than most. And then she ended the year with an possible match of the year candidate with that TLC match against Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. So I certainly had her in my top 10. I actually had her at number 9, and I thought that she warranted it that high a spot. And I've got a lot of women in my top 20. I think this was the breakout year for the women's division in WWE, and quite frankly, it's the most entertaining thing that they have going in wrestling right now. Not just WWE, I feel like in wrestling, period. So I'm looking forward to see where they go from here, and I hope that they steer into the skid and just roll with it. You know, because we're talking about a bunch of old white men here, so I don't know how far they're going to be willing to really take it. But, I mean, all the stars that you have right now, you've got 4 made women right now. Asuka was made at the TLC match. You got Becky and Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, who we'll get to later on. And you also have Big Fine out there, Nia Jax, who was made by simply punching Becky Lynch in the face. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you've got a lot to build around in that women's division, man. And then you also have a lot of talented women, not only on the roster right now, but also up and coming in the wings and NXT and NXT UK and whatnot. So I'd like to see them really take that seriously and just roll with it, because it's the best thing you got going.
We're going to keep the list moving on here and go to number 9. Let's go to an earlier conversation that I actually had with the man who comes in at number 9 when I revealed to him that he was number 9. He was kind of disappointed. Let's go back to that conversation. Hey, Ms. PC Tunney here. You've come in at number 9 on our WWE Top 20 of 2018.
Really? Really? Really?
Why? What are you? You disappointed, Ms.? You think you should be? Why do you think you should be higher?
And I'm awesome!
Gentlemen, your thoughts on the Miz coming in at number 9 this year on our Top 20 of 2018?
Well, Miz had some thoughts, I can tell you that. I had Miz right in this range, pretty much. I am in number 11, which I know Miz would probably be even more mad about that. He got off to a really good start this year. I know people love that stuff with Finn Balor, Seth Rollins. Love that stuff. The stuff of Shane McMahon. Now, I've been wondering about this whole situation of Shane. Some people think it's going to lead to like this big old push for him. Maybe you guys have a different take on that. I don't really see where that's going. What do you guys think about that?
I don't either, especially with this new revelation that the McMahons are going to be on all the shows. So I think that kind of curtailed whatever plans they had for that particular program. So yeah, I'm not quite sure where they're going either. Personally, I thought Miz had a really good year. He started off at Mania, had the good triple threat match. Him and Seth Rollins was a legitimate match of the year candidate the next month after Mania. You know, they finally paid off that feud that what they drew it out to what 8 year long feud with Daniel Bryan. He finally was able to pay that off, so that was cool. And now he's doing this stuff with Shane McMahon. They're the co-best in the world, this and that. I kind of agree with you, Cook. I'm not sure where they're going to go with it, but that's one of the cool things about being a fan. And I think sometimes as the IWC, and especially because we do this, we're, you know, for lack of a better term, we're journalists or pundits or whatever you want to call us at this particular point in time, I think sometimes we put too much emphasis and too much stock in what's going to happen and trying to predict what's going to happen. I think sometimes it would serve us better to remember that at the end of the day, we're fans. And I have no idea where they're going with this, but I'm just going to roll with it and see what happens. Like, you know, I might be disappointed at the end. I might not, but I'm willing to ride this storyline out. And the fact that he's in a storyline with the McMahons lets you know what they think about him or how highly they think about him. Because, you know, the McMahons are the center of the WWE universe. So anytime that somebody's in a program with one of the McMahons, that lets you know that they're, you know, they're pretty high up in terms of how management looks at them. So 219 is going to be interesting. Plus, oh, before I forget, before I go back to PC, we also have to remember him and Maurice. They had their reality show picked up on USA as well, and apparently that got great ratings. So
yeah.
2019 was pretty good year, or 2018 was pretty good year for The Miz. And they also had the Marine 28, I think, that he starred in with Becky Lynch and Dolph Ziggler and Jean-Claude Van Damme and Wesley Snipes. So that worked out well for him as well.
So anyway, when you're married to Maurice, every year is a pretty good year.
Fair enough.
You can check.
I can't argue.
Yeah, every year you're married to Maurice, you can check the winner box. So good for The Miz. He's a moneymaker for Vince McMahon. Bottom line, that's what he is, and he's entertaining out there, and he's been putting on some decent matches. So that's my opinion. I definitely could see him and Shane at Mania, or him and Shane leading to him and Daniel Bryan at Mania, possibly something like that for The Miz, but. Yeah, he's been up there. Let's keep it moving on and move on to number 8, a man who, I don't know, even trying to find a soundbite for him, I was disappointed.
Rock music.
Yeah, I mean,
rock music.
I'm so disappointed with him and Dean Ambrose. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
Oh. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, that's unanimous. Yeah.
Yeah, don't get me started on that shit. Oh, man. I had to plug myself again over on the chairshot.com. I had a nice little article about Seth Rollins. I know everybody kind of loves this guy. I'm surprised that he's not higher ranked. And he's right where I am in number 8. So I have no complaints there. I'm surprised that a lot of people, he went a little bit higher because it seems like everybody's really, really, really high on the guy. But then he goes out there on pay-per-view, like that match with Dean Ambrose. The Iron Man match with Dolph Ziggler was a tremendous disappointment as well. So it seems like a lot of times where this guy steps up in big moments, and I know you point out that Miz match earlier and the Miz and Finn Balor matches all right as well, but he had two of just seemed like the biggest stinkers of the year to me. And when you have a complete flops like that, to me, I just can't see it being a wrestler of the year candidate. Like, I think a lot of people have that conversation, but maybe I'm wrong because he's here at number 8, right where I have him.
You know, I agree with Cook on this one. I had Seth in my top 10. I actually had him at number 10. I mean, he did put on some great matches with The Miz. The Triple Threat at Mania was good. The Gauntlet match on Raw, which was another match of the year candidate. So he warranted enough to be put into the top 10, but I also was surprised that he was this low because, you know, I was under the assumption that the IWC just goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, and I also agree with Cook, when the expectations are high, i.e. the match with Dolph Ziggler that closed the show, the Iron Man, and this feud with Dean Ambrose, when expectations are high, he just doesn't deliver. And I'm not going to put that all on him. I'm just saying from an objective viewpoint, it is what it is. So that's why I you know, he did enough to warrant being in the top 10 this year, but I think that's about it.
Maybe they turned the wrong guy heel. I'm just saying Seth Rollins was always hot as a heel. Now, granted, that was under, you know, the shadow of the McMahons back in the day when he won that title. But, yeah, that's my opinion. Maybe we'll see him get back to that in a weird twist here. But I echo the disappointment, but continue to want to see him do better in the ring because the guy can definitely put on some great matches we've seen in the past. So love to see him build up on top of that. Let's keep rolling right along. Number 7, this man has had plenty of moments this year that can easily take him into the top 10. We're all waiting for him to win a title. But for me, it was when he was looking for a tag team partner and introduced us to a good friend of his, possibly a cousin.
Oh, my God, look at the size of this guy. Where did Strowman find him?
Corey?
My brother's brawn. I'm brains, and I'm about to come down there and knock yours out of your head.
Oh, my God.
Gentlemen, how important is it to Braun and the growth of his character and the growth of his popularity, the fact that he can do funny things like that? I mean, he did the elf thing, right? I mean, not only being one of the most intimidating people, but he can go out there and show people a different side, and maybe that's why they're connecting with him so much.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you really want to position your monster as a funny guy. I don't know if that
I don't mean so much as his character, but I mean his overall personality. Because a lot of people who are fans know about these other weird things he's done.
That's fair. That's fair. And I mean, I guess to an extent, it shows range in him. Congratulations, by the way, Chairshot. You all actually got this one right, because I also had Braun at number 7 on my top 20 list. But yeah, there's something that WWE doesn't see. There's something that they feel that he's missing, because they refuse to just go all the way with him. And I think there have been some opportunities where they could have, because the situation is the circumstances, and they haven't. And ultimately, I think that's actually going to hurt his character overall. I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, it's the WWE. They can strap the rocket to anybody anytime they want to. The best case scenario in that is Mark Henry. You know, Mark kind of floundered, but whenever they wanted to strap the rocket to him and heat him up, they could heat him up and made him a credible main event player. So maybe they could do the same thing with Braun. But I feel like there has been some damage done to his character, because for whatever reason, he hits a certain ceiling and they refuse to go over the top with him. So I don't know. 2019 is going to be interesting. And I'm going to be interested to see what they do with him at Mania. Like, do you guys think that he's going to go over at Royal Rumble and win the title and carry the title going into Mania?
Now I don't know which way it's going. I mean, that's one thing about this Brock Lesnar matches. You never quite know. Like, how many times do we think that Roman Reigns was finally going to beat Brock Lesnar? And it didn't happen for a few times. And Braun's kind of pointed out where he kind of has that Lex Luger syndrome, where he can't quite win the big matches when it counts. And I'm a big Braun fan. I am in number 5. I whether it's right for him to be the comedy guy or not, I did get some entertainment out of it. I thought it was funny. I laughed at most stuff. I laughed at him trying to play the bass against Elias. That was some pretty good stuff. I thought that was a pretty good song he had there. So I liked a lot of what he did up until they decided to turn him heel. They had that just random heel turn when he's feuding against Roman Reigns, because I guess that's how they wanted that to go. They put him with Drew and Dolph and all that, and it just didn't really work. And I think it's kind of hampered him here for the last couple months. Of course, he's got the whole elbow deal. And when you're feeling with Baron Corbin, there's only so much you can do to make people interested. So, yeah, 2019 is going to be a big year for the guy. The upcoming match with Brock is going to be huge to kind of see where he's going forward. And if he is indeed just like kind of stuck at that certain level with the company, where they won't quite strap that rocket to him, maybe some of his duct tape firecrackers you were talking about earlier. I don't know.
So, gun to your head, Steve and PC, do you guys see Braun going over on Brock at Royal Rumble?
No.
Right now, I'd have to say yes.
All right. I think Brock holds on to it to WrestleMania, but I could be wrong.
Here's the one.
So,
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No. So, Steve, I'm going to a little follow-up question here. So, if Brock holds on to it till Mania, who's the main event match?
See, now that's a good question. That's an even better question. And I think some people, I've heard the reports, I've read it out there in the dirt sheets that they might be prepping Rollins for that, but I'm not sure that works either. So I don't have a good answer. I mean, I know I'm a pundit and a quote-unquote expert, but I don't really have a good answer for it. And I think WWE has had a tough time finding answers for this whole Universal title situation since Roman Reigns went out.
Yeah, I can't agree with that more. One quick Braun Strowman fact before we move on, and you could maybe use it to your advantage. He actually has the app where he logs each place he's pooped in America. So you might want to download that map and try to avoid those places. Let's move on to number
That's
six.
That's a thing. Okay, I did not know that. Thank you for that information.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on to number six. And the man herself logs in. It's Becky Lynch.
Who do you want to face at WrestleMania last week? Is there a person you're trying to aim for?
I wouldn't mind slapping the head off Ronda Rousey. Leave and finish business.
I think no one's gotten hotter faster in a long time than Becky Lynch has this year. She just kind of, you talk about strapping the rocket, but she's provided her own fuel there, Platt.
I agree with that, man. And this is another one that your shot got right. I mean, same lady, she reinvigorated Charlotte Flair's career. She made Asuka. She made Big Fine, a.k.a. Nia Jax, a.k.a. the Facebreaker, just by mere association. And the only reason that I didn't have her higher on this list is because her ascension didn't start till later in the year. Like, she didn't really get the, she didn't start cooking with gas until August, or, you know, late August at that, for SummerSlam. But yeah, she's had a tremendous year, and she's one of the most intriguing characters in the entire wrestling business right now. And kudos to the man.
Cook?
Indeed. Indeed. I had her a little bit higher, I admit, but like I keep saying, there's not a whole lot of difference in a lot of these spots to me. I had her up at number three because I was a little bit higher on her work earlier in the year. And I know a lot of it kind of flew under the radar. She was taking on a lot of different girls, and it didn't really seem like it was going places at the time, but it's kind of laying the groundwork for what came later on. It set her up as somebody that people wanted to see get the big push. So when it came time for her to get that singles match with Carmella at SummerSlam, people really wanted to see it. And when Charlotte Flair interjected herself into it, people really got pissed off. And that just kind of set things forward where Becky became the choice of the people. And you've seen what's happened since then. And she's been doing nothing but fire ever since. The whole moment where she attacks Ronda Rousey and gets her face broken and she walks off with the blood all over her face, it made her, at the same time, it kind of makes you wonder if the longevity's there. With the injury issues maybe going forward, it's tough to say. And we'll eventually have the match with what do you call her? Big Fine? Is that what we're calling Nia Jax?
Yeah, Big Fine. Yes,
big
sir.
Big Fine. Okay.
Don't act like Nia ain't fine. Come on now.
I wouldn't turn it down. I'm not going to lie.
Well, same,
I'd be afraid
man.
To turn her down. You know, she'd kick the shit out of me. Jesus
woman.
Christ.
Which is kind of hot, too. But she's
yeah.
a beautiful woman, man. Yeah.
Oh, no doubt about that. But yeah, on the Becky point, I had her a little bit higher, but I'm not going to complain about her placement. I'm not mad about anybody that got put in front of her. And it's her year, 2019. That's going to determine a lot of things about how WWE does going forward.
Let's keep this conversation rolling right into number five. And you brought it up, the feud that has occurred between Becky and Ronda and the different feuds Ronda's had throughout the year. She's easily got to be newcomer of the year. To me, she reminds me a lot of Kurt Angle. Mr. Cook, how do you feel the amazing progression? I guess I'm kind of, you know, padding the question here, but it's been an amazing progression for her, right?
Yeah, I mean, and everybody says going back how many years, that Kurt Angle is like that guy who was the guy that took the wrestling quicker than pretty much anybody else. Like the moment he got into the ring, he was a natural. He was doing kick-ass stuff from the word go. And I feel like Ronda Rousey might be even further along earlier in her career than Kurt Angle was. I think she's kind of new go-to answer for that, for who took the wrestling the quickest. And, of course, she's got that judo background. She's got the MMA background, makes it easier. But she's also got the character stuff going for her, too. Like, that's part of why she's such a huge star in UFC, because, well, unlike her babyface work here, people want to... She was quite the heel over there in the UFC. No doubt about that. So she can turn that on. I mean, when she's going against Becky, she's gonna be booed anyway. That's just how it's gonna go. People are gonna cheer for Becky. They're gonna boo Ronda, and it's gonna be fine. No doubt about that. So she had a great year from the beginning. Her match with the match at WrestleMania with her and Stephanie and Triple H and Kurt, it had train wreck on paper, but damn, that thing worked. And pretty much every match she's had since then has worked. So. Damn good year for Ronda.
I agree, and I actually had her at number three on my top 20 list. And frankly, I don't see, Chairshot, brethren, how you could put a woman higher than Ronda Rousey because she reinvigorated this woman's division, and she is the biggest mainstream star that WWE has going right now today. So I don't see how any woman could be higher than her. And everything kind of, from her debut at WrestleMania, which like Crook said, was a match that didn't necessarily have high expectations, but it exceeded them exponentially, to her feuds with Nia Jax, Big Fine, like they actually had really good matches, and everything in between, headlining the first ever all-women's pay-per-view, like everything going here. She's box office. She's the biggest draw they have right now, male or female. And yeah, I don't see how anybody could put another woman above Ronda Rousey. So yeah. And but we'll get to that momentarily, I'm sure. I'll come back to that. We'll table this discussion until a few minutes later.
Now, we talked about the amazing progression of Ronda Rousey, and she's going to continue to get even better. Let's talk about something that wasn't so amazing, but one of the things that you'll definitely remember 2018 for. Coming in at number four, unfortunate news.
My real name is Joe. And I've been living with leukemia for 11 years.
Now, I want you guys to listen to that again, and I'm going to turn it up right at the end because I want you to hear how one idiot fan reacts, and just to tell you how amazingly hot Roman was at the time he had to lay the belt down. Just listen to it, and then right at the end, just wait.
My real name is Joe. And I've been living with leukemia for 11 years.
Here it comes. Listen. Hear that guy say, "You still suck?" He's like, "Hey everybody, my name's Joe, and I'm, you know, and I have cancer. You still suck." Like, what the fuck?
That's
is that?
Heat right there.
That, there you go. That, right? Go ahead, Cook. Coming in at number four, that, Roman Reigns.
That guy right there that said that after that announcement, he needs to take a brand new dildo, soak it in alcohol, and then smother it with honey, and then roll it over broken glass. And nails, and rusted nails, by that means. Turn that sumbitch sideways and stick it straight up his candy ass, okay?
Now, you know what? If he did that, there's only one remedy for what you just explained.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
Sorry, I had to throw under the bus. Sorry, but let's get back to talking about Roman Reigns. Cook, can you follow all that and bring us back and give us your thoughts on what happened with Roman Reigns here this 2018?
Roman Reigns, you know what? If you ever needed proof of Roman Reigns' drawing power or the interest people had in the guy, take a look at what happened to Raw's ratings after he left. Yeah. I mean, we know it always drops off during football season anyway, but not to that level. Once Roman Reigns left, I think a lot of the interest from the fans left, to be honest with you. And to go back to that Rollins-Ambrose discussion about which one should have turned heel, I think turning either one of them heel that night. I know they're going for the most heat, but I think that just kind of I don't think it helped. I think the Shield fans that were wanting to see those guys do that, I think they just turned the show off. It's like, no, I don't want to see this. I want the Romans got leukemia and these two are fighting. I think that turned a lot of people off. I think it's got a lot to do with the ratings problems they have going right now. Certainly, I mean, there's not much else you can say. Roman Reigns has typical year near top of the card, kicking ass. The Shield stuff was all a good piece of business. The Brock matches kind of were what they were. Some were better than others, but that kind of all seems secondary right now. We're all hoping that Roman Reigns. I'm hoping he's back on this list next year. I don't know how realistic that is. I don't know what kind of condition he is in right now. I'm just hoping next year we got this list going again. I hope he's back at number four next year.
I agree with Cook, man. I would love to see Roman back on this list next year. But first and foremost, man, you know, fuck wrestling, man. Get healthy. You know, you got a wife and you got children. So get healthy for them, man. And if you can make it back to wrestling, that's even better. But I also agree with Cook. Just, you know, you see, this is why I had Roman Reigns at number one on my list. I mean, you see the drop in Raw ratings. And I mean, there were a lot of factors that went into that, but you know, that the Roman situation can't be discounted to why the ratings drop so much. I mean, this guy, he's the straw that stirs the drink. Shout out to Reggie Jackson. He really is. And the great thing about Roman, and I think one of the most underrated things about Roman that people might not even pick up on, is that when he's there, there's somewhat of a pecking order. And then everybody else kind of gets in line behind him. And with his absence, it's kind of been chaotic. Like, we don't know who we really don't know who the top guys are, especially considering on Raw. Like, we have no idea who the real top guys are. Like, it's like a bunch of
Baron Corbin's getting the most airtime, you know? It's
like, Baron Corbin's getting like an hour and 15 minutes of Raw time every week. Like, that's where we're at right now. You know what I mean? What the damn hell, man? So, yeah. So, yeah, I had Roman at number one for the very reason, because of the impact that he had, not only when he was there, but more importantly, the impact that he's had since he hasn't been there. That proves his importance in the company, and I don't see how anybody else could have been number one.
Yeah, I mean, just to wrap up the Roman Reigns subject, with the most important thing that you guys said is, you know, he equals ratings for the WWE, and even more importantly, you know, get well, take care of yourself, and we hope to have you on this list again next year. So that would be the news of 2019, Roman Reigns getting back in the ring. But speaking of a little bit of a linear story, somebody else we never thought getting back in the ring as we move on down this list and having quite a 2018. But he was not very happy with me when I told him he wasn't number one. In fact, he started yelling at me.
Fickle! 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 Fickle!
Gentlemen, talk to me about the excellent, in my opinion, heel turn by Daniel Bryan and maybe match of the year that he had, in my opinion, with Brock Lesnar. Those are my thoughts on Daniel Bryan. CP?
I agree with you, man. I mean, number one, that was up until the Roman tragedy, that was the biggest story of 2018, was Daniel Bryan's return to the ring. And he delivered, and then he had the heel turn, which also delivered one of the great heel turns. It's between him and Hilsuke as the greatest heel turn. And I'm really digging this heel Daniel Bryan character. I like the douchebag vegan granola guy. Like,
and one thing that
David Shoemaker with The Ringer, he made a very interesting point on his podcast a few weeks back. He said that in terms of Daniel Bryan's WWE run, there's really been three characters that he's played that have worked. And the first one was a underdog babyface chasing the championship. The second one was a buddy comedy, like him and the work he did with Kane with Team Hell No. And then insufferable douchebag heel. And, you know, and we've got insufferable douchebag heel back. And, you know, the fact that he has been able to get fans to boo him, I have to question if Daniel Bryan is the best worker in all of wrestling right now. Because, you know, like, he's a natural babyface. But do you know how hard it had to possibly be to get the fans to turn on him and to boo him? It's just a testament to how great he is, both in the ring and on the mic. So, yeah, I can't fault that, man. I had Bryan at number five, but I can't fault him at being at number two because he had a hell of a 2018. And then, lest we forget, he was also a decent general manager as well. So, yeah.
Definitely did a good job in that GM role as well. Fantastic to see Bryan back in the ring. We weren't sure if it was ever going to happen. So that's a bad
bonus
for us in 2018.
Don't say we.
Uh-oh.
What, are we not French? What, are we French now?
Oh, I thought you would stand up for me,
French fries.
I called that in before Survivor Series of 2017 that we'd be seeing Mr. Daniel Bryan back in the ring. Sorry, had a Barry Horowitz moment there. Continue, Mr. Cook. My apologies.
Okay, I completely lost track of what I was saying there anyway. But it was a great heel turn anyway, and a great heel turn. And one of the reasons it worked so well was at the time that it came, where it came at a moment where he's kicking AJ Styles in the groin. I'm not sure how many people Daniel Bryan could kick in the groin and become a heel because of it. Like, I don't think that list is very long, but AJ Styles' groin has been established as a character in WWE this year for some reason. Poor bastard.
I was about to say that's the heel turn move, man. Like, Jesus Christ could kick AJ Styles' groin and make a heel turn. Like, that's just what it is, man. That's how you turn heel in WWE now.
AJ's groin probably had the worst 2018 out of anybody in the company, I think. Jesus, he got a beating, all year, that's for sure. And beating is probably the wrong term to use there. But anyway, Daniel Bryan, fantastic wrestler.
Well, I'm sure AJ's wife's vagina wasn't too happy about AJ getting kicked in the groin either, so she might have actually low-key had the worst.
Yeah, bad year for Wendy. Got Samoa Joe showing up at her house, and AJ's just not in the mood whenever he is home. It's a bad time. It's a bad time for Wendy, that's for sure. She's not getting that championship money anymore either. At least she had the WWE championship money coming in. Now she doesn't. And AJ's over here punching the boss, so who knows what his paycheck's going to be next week. Oh, man.
Do you think that there's a possibility that...
And AJ sitting at the side of the bed with his head down like, God damn it. And his wife just looking at him. I thought you were phenomenal, motherfucker.
See, my theory on this was that Wendy's been behind all the nut shots because she's tired of having kids. No more kids.
And AJ's just not a kind of guy who'll get a vasectomy is what you're saying. That's a little too highbrow for him, a little too liberal.
He'd have to take time off the road, you know?
Yeah.
So Dr. Samoa Joe, huh? He was the face of this whole time, huh? He was just doing Wendy's bidding.
That's right. Yeah, they're in the cahoots, if you will. And you know, you gotta give Brian credit too, because he was smart enough to see, like, during that Miz angle, Miz was getting a lot of babyface reaction, even though the story from the beginning was that Miz was the asshole in the whole situation. People were cheering Miz a lot during that. So I think Brian's smart enough to see, well, maybe let's switch things up here a little bit, go a different tack. And the new Daniel Bryan, you're kind of seeing a lot of the old Daniel Bryanson. I'm just calling him Daniel Bryanson, because why not? The old Daniel Bryanson from back in the day.
Hey, man, fuck it, man. If we can have Brock Jones and John Lesnar, fuck it.
I think we've already done AJ Styles here, haven't we?
Let's continue to talk about the most talked about groin in America. A man who comes in at number two also saw the culmination of, what was it, just over a year-long title run with that WWE title, which is pretty impressive. And, of course, I'm talking about...
SmackDown Live is the house that AJ Styles built.
What more can you say? This guy's probably been easily one of the top five wrestlers, performers, overall superstars in the world for, what, last half decade at the least?
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Further than that, yeah.
And, I mean, frankly, the most talked about groin in America this year was probably Stormy Daniels's, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, LeBron's made a late run here at the end of 2018.
Yeah, LeBron has made a late run here, and I'm actually hearing from my sources that that injury is a lot worse than the Lakers are putting on, so stay tuned.
You're saying it's a groin pull the likes of which you've never seen before?
Well, I haven't seen many pulled groins, so yes.
All right, folks, I think we've pretty much covered AJ Styles. We've run this podcast a little bit longer than we wanted to, but I think we've got into some great conversation. Before we hit number one, I'm sure you folks can figure out who that is. Let's tell everybody where they can find us if they want to debate us and our thoughts or just overall interest in what we got going on. Mr. Cook, you got a ton of places people can find you and get tons of information from you. Let them know where all those places are.
Of course, thechairshot.com, where I have two articles every single week. 411man.com, where I have like 15 articles every single week. It keeps getting bigger and bigger, folks. Lots more stuff going on there in 2019. Predlines.com, where I do that hockey, like they say. I do the hockey. 3psmag.com is where I talk about fantasy football. We'll have some playoff fantasy stuff going on as well. And then offteam.com, where I do the fantasy football podcast with my good friend. We call him the Voodoo Penguin. That, in fact, is his government name, Voodoo Penguin.
That's a cool nickname. I like that, Voodoo Penguin. All right. Pretty cool. That could be nickname of the year for me. Mr. Platt, you got nicknames. Mr. Velvet Pipes, the MVP, the voice of the chair shot. Tell everybody where they can find you. I know you love to argue with people, too.
I'm also the songbird of my generation, it's been said, but that's neither here nor there. I'm very big in Guam, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. But Hey, man, you guys can find me on the Twitter at The Real C Platt. Bring your questions, comments, and concerns. And if you want to argue, just don't sing it. Just bring it. But I am going to let you know, your arms are way too short to box with God. You guys can also find me on the Chair Shot at Chair Shot Radio every Sunday. I'm not sure if we're doing a show this evening. I know Mr. Cash is out of town, but we'll see. And Pot is War will be coming back in 2019, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back. But more importantly than all of that, if you enjoy what we do, if you enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoyed great articles from the likes of Steve Cook and Ray Cash and Andrew Blass and everybody else, all the great content and entertainment and information that we provide to you daily at thechairshot.com, well, then do us a solid. Please, thank you, and please. And take your stinking asses over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts, folks. We've got them in all shapes, sizes, and colors for men, women, children, sisters, and brothers, fathers and mothers as well. Like, go pick up a t-shirt, man. Become part of the movement. We're working on some really cool new designs out there as well. But get the old ones, and then you can come back and get the new ones once we get the new ones up there as well. Again, man, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official Chair Shot swag. Thechairshot.com. It's not just a website. It's a movement. And become part of the movement, folks.
Yeah, everything that he just said about the Chair Shot right there. Now I don't have to do any of that. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
That's why they can call me the MVP, baby. But go on.
You can find me at PC Tunney on the Twitter. You can listen to me every week on the DWI podcast, along with the other half of the world's greatest tag team never, DPP. You can find him at It's Me, DPP. And you can always find us on thechairshot.com. Also, I want to plug the Chair Shot picks, which have been doing really well. I took over Survivor Series. Cumulatively, the picks that the Chair Shot have made have gone 17-6-1 in two pay-per-view weekends. So, give yourselves a hand, Chair Shot staff. And folks, if you want to know who's going to win, make sure you check that out before every single pay-per-view. So, gentlemen, we're down to number one. I know Platt's not going to like it. It's exactly what 80% of the people who participated in this had, though, Platt. So you're just going to have to deal with it.
So what's that? 4 out of 5, motherfuckers?
You got it. Is? 4 out of 5 motherfuckers had this woman number one in 2018.
This past Sunday, I put the baddest beating on the so-called baddest woman on the planet, and I am damn proud of it.
Woo! Had to throw in a little Rick there. But to me, Charlotte Flair is your modern-day Hulk Hogan. She combines that with being the modern-day Ric Flair. She put the two together. Her character is so big and so dominant and brings everybody up with her and just creates money like Hulk Hogan did. And yet she goes out and puts on great matches and is there all the time like her dad was. So to me, she deserves to be number one. She's been involved in every major storyline that's led to the women being at the top of the list in storylines for WWE at the end of 2018. That's my thoughts on why Charlotte Flair should be number one. And that's why I think we had 4 out of 5 motherfuckers agree with me.
I want to hear Platt's take on this first. I want to hear him to go off on it.
I love Charlotte first and foremost, man. She's absolutely amazing. She is one of the best wrestlers in the world. I love her work. I love the whole second generation thing, the Flair thing. I love all of it. I absolutely love her. Let me just say that. Let me preference my comments with that, okay? But you mean to tell me that you have Charlotte Flair above Becky Lynch, the young lady who reinvigorated Charlotte's character, above Ronda Rousey, the woman that reinvigorated the women's division in WWE, period, above Roman Reigns, whose absence tanked the Raw ratings, above Brock Lesnar, who is the top champion on the flagship show. Like, you're really going to put Charlotte Flair above those four people? Like, I don't see how you could possibly do it. You can make an argument. I had her, I had Charlotte at number 8. I had Braun, Becky, D. Bryan, AJ, Ronda, Brock, and Roman above her. Now, you can make an argument about AJ. Like, AJ did a lot for the division, and he solidified the WWE World title. But you can make an argument about putting her above D. Bryan. You can make an argument about putting her above AJ. You can make an argument about putting her above Braun. But above Becky, Ronda, Roman, and Brock, there's no solid argument to be made whatsoever. I don't understand how you do that, gentlemen. Help me out. Help me help you.
You know what? I'm a little surprised because I thought I was going to be the odd duck with my pick of Charlotte.
So I'm a little pissed off that everybody else went the same direction. I was hoping to be the odd guy here, putting over Charlotte Flair, while the rest of y'all went with I don't know, Seth Rollins or whatever, okay, the IWC people are going for. I was hoping to be the odd guy. But you know what though? It's for me, and I know this is kind of the geeky, nerdy way to look at it. And I when I was doing the Seth Rollins column that I was talking about earlier, I started thinking about, like, okay, which of the WWE performers have delivered on big stage, like, all year? And three of my top matches this year were Charlotte versus Asuka at WrestleMania, Charlotte versus Becky at Evolution, and then Charlotte, Becky, Asuka at the TLC. And to me, Charlotte was the common denominator there. And, you know, PC already pretty much covered the whole business about here, her being the combination of Hogan and Flair or whatever. And, you know, I'm with you on Becky Lynch. I'd Becky higher than a lot of other people did. And there's no doubt that her character's taken off. And there's no doubt Ronda Rousey's taken off, too. I can't take anything away from those people. But, you know, Becky can lay claim to being the man and all that, but I think Charlotte Flair's, she's stepped into her old man's shoes. I mean, you talk about Rick being the greatest wrestler of all time, and Rick might be the greatest male wrestler of all time. And I think when it's all said and done, there's a pretty good chance Charlotte's going to be the best women's wrestler of all time.
That's true, but you literally just said that you were being contrary for the sake of being a contrarian, so your opinion is null and void. So what about the rest
of
you?
Hold on. No. The thing is,
three out of four motherfuckers. You sound like the one goddamn dentist that thought it was a bad idea to put baking soda in toothpaste. Shut the fuck
up. It's not that I was trying to be contrary. I just thought I was going to be, because I thought everybody else was going to vote for AJ or for Seth Rollins or somebody like that. I just figured I was going to be the odd man out.
We're saying the same thing. Don't try to lawyer me, Melon Farmer. The fact that yo, shout out to Charlotte, man. She had an absolutely great year. And Steve, you also made a very compelling argument for Charlotte as well. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. It's just hard for me to put her in front of Becky, in front of Roman, in front of Brock. Like, that's just, or in front of Rousey as well. Like, it's just hard for me to put her in front of theirs. Like, she's right there in the mix, and she's one of the top superstars they have. But it's just hard for me to put her in front of those four people that I named.
All right, gentlemen, I enjoyed this discussion. I think if anybody wants to continue it with us, you know where to find us on the Twitter, or go ahead and check out all the articles that are up and the content that the three of us all provide over at thechairshot.com, among other places, like we said. Guys, I'm going to give you one last thought each here, and then I'm just going to play us out. Your final quick thoughts on 2018 and what you want to see in 2019, Mr. Cook.
2018 was definitely a year of ups and downs. Like, the most remembered thing is going to be the Roman Reigns leukemia. And so, I mean, when that's your leadoff, that's not really a good sign. And things have been going downhill lately. So I feel like the story of 2019 is going to be, how does WWE recover from all this? How they go forward? And there's going to be a lot of stuff that goes on outside WWE that's also going to tell us a lot about 2019. We know that there is a certain group of people out there might be providing some competition. We're not sure. And I think that's going to be another one of the big stories. I'd like to see that be a thing. I'd like to see WWE get back on the right track. I'd like to see all of pro wrestling do well and give me stuff to write about and make more money.
Well, you know, New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom on January 4th, it's going to tell us a lot about what's going to happen in the wild, wonderful, wacky world of professional wrestling in 2019. That main event with Tanahashi versus Kenny Omega, depending on that outcome, that's going to give us a lot of insight about what's going to be happening. And buckle up, gentlemen. It's going to be an interesting ride, I believe.
Well, folks, thank you once again for joining us on the top 20 of 2018 in the WWE. And all I got to say is,
now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe. Have a safe and happy new year from everybody over here at thechairshot.com. This has been a presentation of thechairshot.com, a DWI podcast and Chairshot Radio episode. That's it. Thanks, guys. That was fun.
Now something's going to bother me. Whose theme was that at the end? The last song. Whose theme was that?
That's the Mean Street Posse.
Mean Street Posse. God, that's going to bother me the rest of the day. I'm telling you. I remember that song. I was like, okay, who the hell was that? Thank you. That's going to bother me the rest of the day.
No worries. Pete Gass, Rodney, you know, the other guy.
There we have.
That's funny because I didn't even know. I'm just thinking in my head, generic ska music. Generic ska music.